12. A private council chamber, Imperial Palace, Chiraeth, Kingdom of Chisholm.
Your Majesties.
Prince Narmon of Emerald bowed as he stepped past the guardsman outside the door in answer to the pre-breakfast summons. Caleb and Charlian sat at a table beside one of the chamber's windows. It was still dark, and the moonless, starless winter sky was cloudy enough no one should expect to see the sun, even when it finally deigned to rise. The hour was a bit early, even for vigorous, youthful monarchs, Narmon reflected. It was somewhat more than a bit early for him, on the other hand, given that he preferred a rather more leisurely schedule, and he hadn't really expected to be summoned to a conference even before breakfast. The chamber had been fitted with one of Hausmann Foundry's new cast-iron stoves, its chimney ducted into the flue of an enormous but old-fashioned and rather less efficient fireplace, and it was actually comfortably warm, even by Narmon's semi-tropical Emeraldian standards. A tall steaming carafe of hot chocolate sat beside an equally steaming pot of tea, and both were accompanied by cups, plates, and a tray, well provided with scones and muffins. Before his arrival here in Chiraeth, Narmon had never encountered the scones, laced with nuts and sweetbriar berries, but they were a local specialty, and he approved of them enthusiastically. Especially when they were still hot from the oven and there was plenty of fresh butter available. He brightened visibly as he saw them, and not simply because he hadn't eaten yet. That was rather central to his reaction, but there were other factors. Specifically, since he and Olivia had acquired their own comms and access to Al's computer files, his wife had begun to fuss over his eating habits. Narmon himself had spent many hours now poring over those same files with delight, yet he'd been interested in significantly different portions of them. He supposed he was glad they had access to information which told them the truth about health issues the Holy Writ had demoted to rote obedience to religious law, but he could have wished that information had not contained words like cholesterol and arteriosclerosis. It had been quite bad enough, in his opinion, when Pasqualet-trained healers had fussed at him about what he ate without any knowledge of the actual reasons behind Pasquale's dietary suggestions. He smiled at the thought, but then his smile faded as he saw the Emperor's and Empress's expressions. "Good morning, Narmon," Charlian replied to his greeting. Her voice was courteous, but there was something hard, angry, about her tone. Whatever it was, though, at least it didn't appear to be directed at him, for which the prince was grateful. "Please join us."
"Of course, Your Majesty."
Narmon crossed to the indicated chair, facing Caleb and Charlian across the table and looking out through the window behind them. He sat, and Charlian poured hot chocolate and handed it to him. He accepted the cup with a murmured thanks, sipped, then set it on the table before him, folding his hands around it, while he considered possible reasons for his unanticipated summons. His first thought had been that it had something to do with Merlin's mission to Michaelburg, but he'd watched the imagery of Merlin's conversation with Duke Eastshire himself. It didn't seem likely anything had gone wrong there, yet if not that, then...
"Forgive me, Your Majesty," he said, looking at Charlian. "But from your tone, something's happened of which I'm not aware."
His own tone and raised eyebrows made the statement a question, and Caleb gave a harsh, ugly little bark of a laugh. Narmon transferred his attention to the Emperor and cocked his head.
"You might say that," Caleb said. "When I woke up this morning, I touched base with Owl. I usually do, and I usually have a couple of things I've got him keeping track of, specific things I'm particularly interested in."
He shrugged.
"Most of them, frankly, aren't particularly earth-shaking. You might call them purely selfish. Things like the baseball scores and standings back in old Caris, for example. Or keeping track of Hector and Destiny. That sort of thing.
He paused and Narman nodded in understanding.
Well, one of the things I've had him keeping track of was Father Timon's sermons down in Manchia. Not so much because of their political implications, but because I've enjoyed them so much on a personal level. So this morning I asked him how Father Timon was coming on this Wednesday's sermon.
The Emperor's face tightened and his voice went harsh and flat.
Unfortunately, he won't be preaching this 5 day after all. Those bastards of Wyman's murdered him night before last. As a matter of fact, they tortured him to death and then dumped his naked body in Grey Lizard Square yesterday morning.
Narman stiffened, and his eyes darted to Charlian. He understood the rage glittering in her eyes now. The Empress had been looking forward to the day she would finally get to meet the priest who had emerged as the spiritual leader of the Coruscantian reformists. He knew how much she'd come to respect Hoskins, and he suspected that the priest's murder, especially at Wyman's direct orders, must resonate with the memory of how so many of her own guardsmen had been killed as the result of another High Churchman's plans to murder her.
"All as positive Wyman personally ordered it, Your Grace?"
he asked in as neutral a tone as he could manage, choosing to direct the question to Caleb, and the Emperor made a sound midway between a growl and a snarl.
"Oh, he's positive, all right. The bastard passed the order through Hainry to Amale."